This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. According to Cradle Cincinnati, babies born to women who smoke during pregnancy are 44% more likely to die before their first birthday. The local organization, created to help reduce our area's infant mortality rate, has just launched a campaign to help pregnant women stop smoking. And here to discuss the program are Dr. Beth Ann Brown, Residency Program Director and Associate Professor at the University of Cincinnati James L. Winkle College of Pharmacy, Chris Rowland, who's Vice President of Client Services with Desky, the marketing and brand strategy firm that designed the campaign to reach expectant mothers, and Cradle Cincinnati Executive Director Ryan Adcock. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Beth, Ryan, and Chris, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Oh, thank you for having
thank
us.
You. Thank you.
Ryan, this is something the Cincinnati area has just struggled with for such a long time, the high infant mortality rate. And it's above the national average, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We're among the worst 10% nationally for infant mortality. We have been for a very long time. We're starting to see small progress, and we're starting to see improvement, which is great news for our community, but we're never satisfied. It needs to happen at a much quicker rate, and we really still have far too many babies who are dying in our community.
What is the rate currently?
The rate over the past 5 years is 9.5 deaths for every 1,000 live births, and just to give you an idea, the national average is just below 6 deaths for every 1,000 live births, so about 50% higher.
Okay, so why is our area's rate so high? Have we ever been able to pinpoint what's going on?
That's a lot of our work, and yeah. There's very complex reasons that it's high, starting with the fact that we have a very high poverty rate here. But there are some issues that we think are very changeable, very affectable, and we call those our three S's. So promoting safe sleep for babies. You've probably seen a lot of our campaigns around putting your babies to sleep alone on their back and in a crib to reduce the risk of SIDS. Reducing maternal smoking, which we're going to talk a lot about today. Mm-hmm. And then increasing spacing between pregnancies. So the amount of time in between a woman's pregnancy actually matters. And if you can make it more than a year, you significantly reduce your risk for preterm birth.
Well, Beth, how big a contributor to infant mortality is smoking? Women who smoke during pregnancy, how big is that?
It is actually a very large contributor. There's been numerous studies done that show that women, no matter when they quit during the pregnancy, they can improve their outcomes for themselves as well as the babies. So quitting, no matter when you quit, it's important just to quit and to seek help in doing so.
Now, why is it so dangerous to smoke during pregnancy? What's happening here that causes this?
What's happening is in your body, when you smoke, you inhale something called carbon monoxide, and that actually replaces oxygen in your blood. And so your baby, as well as your baby, are not getting enough oxygen, which causes a lot of the problems with low birth weight and then preterm labor.
Now, what kind of effects does smoking during pregnancy have on the child? It's keeping it from getting oxygen. So mm-hmm. Physically, what's happening?
Physically, the baby has some problems getting oxygen, which inhibits its ability to grow normally and at a good rate. And so that's where our concern is.
Yeah. And Mark, there's in general three broad categories that cause infant death in our community, and that's babies being born too early, so preterm birth. It's birth defects. And it's sleep-related deaths or SIDS. And smoking actually increases the chance that a baby will die from any of those factors. So it increases the risk of preterm birth and low birth weight, increases the chance of having a fatal birth defect, and it also increases the chance that someone's going to die from a sleep-related death.
Well, and children who do live past their first birthday, this still has consequences, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely, absolutely. Asthma rates are increased. Just a lot of health consequences continue on through the child's life.
Mm-hmm. So if we can reduce smoking, Ryan, how great do you think the impact is going to be on reducing?
Sure. Well, let me quantify it in terms of dollars for a second. So we know that preterm birth is extremely expensive for our community, and we think that just by reducing smoking alone, we could have a $2.6 million impact on the cost of preterm birth for our community, which means, of course, more importantly, that we'd have far fewer babies that are born too early. Every year, there are about 1,100 women in Hamilton County who continue to smoke during their pregnancy. So this is a large population that we can affect.
Now, Chris, let's talk about the program that you've been instrumental in helping to develop. Tell me about the campaign. Four parts to it, is that correct?
Well, yeah. So are you talking about the smoking campaign
mm-hmm.
specifically?
Right.
So the campaign is, we've started out with a message, and the media on that is outdoor advertising. So that's the first component. The development of the campaign, however, was done over a series of a few months. we knew going in that there's no shortage of anti-smoking messages out there, as well as anti-smoking messages targeting pregnant women. So we also know that through some research that those haven't really had a positive impact. So what we found out is that understanding empowerment and understanding the women, these women, particularly in the communities, and a message of empowerment was going to go much further. So that's coming across in our new campaign. These women are the queens of our community, and if given the chance, they will make a change for the better. So four components. The campaign itself will come across in outdoor media. We are also planning print media, radio, and some clinic messaging specific in health clinics.
One of the things that I love that Chris did is he reached out to women in the community and really got their voice on the front end of this process. So one thing we heard loud and clear was we're not going to hear this message if it's a message of you're so bad or just the typical kind of reprimand.
So nagging doesn't work.
Nagging doesn't work. Okay. Blame doesn't work. And what they said was we want to feel supported instead. How can we possibly? This is hard. Quitting smoking is hard. Doing it cold turkey, which is essentially what you're usually asked to do during pregnancy, is even harder. And so how can we support them? And the campaign that Desky developed for us really is one that celebrates women and celebrates the power they do have to quit.
So one of the aspects of this campaign is the 1-800-QUIT-NOW line. Mm-hmm. So that's a number you can call and get help?
Absolutely.
How
it's a nationwide line that provides one-on-one counseling for patients. There's also other supportive mechanisms throughout the city. There's also smartphone apps that can be used for those that have smartphones that can help quit. There's one-on-one counseling that's available. In partnering with CVS and other pharmacies, the pharmacist is one of the most accessible healthcare providers out there. Women can go to their pharmacist and ask for help. Unfortunately, we can't use a lot of the medications that someone who's not pregnant can use, but we can provide that support. The term that we use is no one plans to fail, but we fail to plan. And if you can plan ahead of time, knowing what your triggers are, understanding what causes you to smoke, then we can help, and any healthcare professional can help you identify those triggers, help figure out how to avoid smoking when you get that stress in your life.
Now, there was another aspect of the campaign called motivational interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that to me?
Motivational interviewing is a way that healthcare providers communicate with patients. It's very patient-centered and going along the theme of patient empowerment, and that the patient really drives the discussion. The patient drives how they want to quit, what they want to do, and we're there to help them figure that out. And so many healthcare professionals are trained in motivational interviewing. The clinic staffs are trained, the physicians are trained, pharmacists are trained, and it just is a way of communicating that's very different. It's not like a parent-patient relationship or that typical doctor-patient relationship. It really puts the patient in the driver's seat.
And Mark, we talk with a lot of healthcare providers who feel pretty forlorn about this subject. They say, you know, we don't have the tools. We don't know what to do. We are very frustrated that our pregnant patients are smoking. And so what we've done is we're putting together, in just a couple weeks, we're launching a learning collaborative with 28 teams of providers. We're really trying to standardize the way we talk about quitting smoking. And we're trying to do it in a way that's proven. So all elements of this campaign are evidence-based and have been proven to work in other communities. One thing we've heard from a lot of folks is that they've given up. So whether it's a healthcare provider or a Medicaid managed care plan or somebody who's doing advertising on this, you know, they say, yeah, we've given up. We don't feel right about that. We don't feel like that's moral. This is a big issue for our community, and we can't give up on it. And it turns out there's a lot that can be done that hasn't been done. And so that's what we're trying to implement now.
Now, there's also going to be a maternal smoking cessation health educator as part of this program. That's somebody who's actually dedicated to nothing but this one job, right?
Absolutely. So in partnership with Hamilton County Public Health, we've just hired, for the first time ever, there's someone who wakes up every day thinking about how to help moms quit smoking. And we think she's going to be most powerful, and this is the structure she's using for her work, by not just doing that by herself, but by training other folks who can make a big difference, and working with lots and lots of partners. So she spends very little of her time in her office, and is all around the city working with partners to improve smoking education.
Well, and developing support groups is a big part of this too. That's your fourth element in this campaign, right?
Yes. So we know, and we learned from a lot of the work that Chris did on the front end, that women do need support for this, and the best support they can get is from their peers, is from other people who are struggling with it, other people who are going through it. There are currently zero smoking cessation support groups for women in pregnancy in Hamilton County, and we don't think that's right. So we're going to start some that are designed specifically for this population that can help them have that supportive nature.
Chris, how many billboards are going to be out there about for the campaign?
At the start, we're going to have about 50 to 55 billboards, and those are targeted by zip code where we're experiencing the most the highest rates of infant mortality.
Now, what were some of the messages going to be on the billboards?
So right now, we've started with a Queen City message. And so to Ryan's point earlier, we know what doesn't work when it comes to helping women stop smoking, and that is finger wagging and blame or scare tactics. And so the insights around empowering our women came from a number of consumer interviews, discussion with doctors and health clinics. And there's so much that this target has going on in their lives. Smoking is part of that, but they may not know where they're sleeping that night or what their kids are going to eat. So they're very easy. It's very easy for them to tune out the smoking message. So the Queen City message is reaffirming that we know that these women are strong, that they do have support, and that they can quit smoking if given the chance. So that's the main thrust of our message. We also happen to be one of the Queen Cities. It's definitely secondary in terms of priority of communication, but We're going to extend the Queen City message through, to your earlier point, through a number of different tactics.
And when you were researching this and putting this together, you had women who were telling you, yes, this is what will work.
So it's interesting. They did. We fielded a few different concepts in front of women. And interestingly enough, there were two that they really gravitated towards. And one was very different from this Queen City message. One was a little bit more predictable. It was, I would consider it cute, baby booties, kind of focusing on the baby. And the women sparked to that in a way that, I would love booties, or I'd love a onesie, or I'd love a cute nursery for my baby. The other one they sparked to because they said it conveyed faith and a spirituality to them. It conveyed empowerment. And the smoking message, while yes, the poor outcomes, it leads to poor birth outcomes and bad health for your baby, the message that we're getting out there really needs to focus on empowering the mom.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And Beth, in a lot of cases, it's not just the expectant mom who's smoking. There might be family members who are smoking as well. Does that affect the baby, and are you doing anything to address that issue?
Secondhand smoke is just as detrimental to the baby and the mother as the mother smoking. So that's a definite known. Not really targeting. We're really targeting the mother that smokes currently, but realizing that in the whole education campaign, if you're living with someone that smokes, hopefully that will translate to please ask your partner to smoke outside or other family members to smoke away from you, and try to lower your level of inhaling secondhand smoke as much as possible.
Ryan, is there some thought behind the idea that, it's not just expectant mothers. Quitting smoking is good for just about anybody. And it sounds like what you're developing here could be applied in a lot of different cases. Is there any thought given to going beyond just expectant mothers as with this message?
Absolutely. As we think about, sort of 5 years down the road for this campaign, we expect it to go to a lot of different places. We do think it's important to start with a focused, very specific audience in mind, and that's these 1,100 women who smoke during their pregnancy, because the biggest impact this has and the way that it most affects infant mortality is by leading to preterm birth, and that's something that is directly correlated with mom smoking during her pregnancy. Of course, eventually we want no one smoking in the community at all, but this is one of the reasons we're encouraged by this group, is it's a time when women are very motivated to make change. So already about 50% of women who smoke before their pregnancy, quit when they find out they are pregnant. And this is a chance, it's an opportunity that doesn't come around a lot to really make a difference in a woman's life because she has that motivation.
Now, how will you be able to measure the effectiveness of the campaign? When will you be able to do that?
The ultimate measure for us is do we have fewer maternal smokers? And that's something we measure and report once a month is women smoking during the second and third trimester of their pregnancy. So currently that's 10.2% of pregnant women in Hamilton County, which again equates to about 1,100 women. So we want to see that number start to fall. We're also going to be measuring the number of health clinics who are using these motivational interviewing techniques. We're going to be measuring the efficacy of the communications campaign. And really just trying to spread this word. This is long-term work. This isn't easy. If it were easy, it would have been done a long time ago. This is work that's going to take really years to see the full impact. But we have enough measurement in place that we should be able to see some impact pretty quickly.
Beth, you talked earlier about quit as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm.
What if you haven't planned that far in advance? I mean, is it ever too late to quit? I mean, is once you're pregnant too late are there still benefits?
It's really never too late to quit. Just after you take your last cigarette, 8 hours later, the oxygen level in your blood is already coming back up. Within 2 weeks, your lungs are functioning much better than they were when you were a smoker. So any point in time that you can quit is healthy for you and healthy for your baby. So it's really important just to plan and to seek the help and to quit. The quit rate for someone that goes cold turkey, the success rate, is only about 3%. But as you seek help, that goes up to 12%. And if you see a provider more often, up to about 8 times, your success rate is about 25%.
So if you quit in the first trimester, that's highly beneficial.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
What if you wait till the second trimester?
It's still beneficial.
Still beneficial.
Mm-hmm, at any point in time.
Okay. So as far as this positive message, you think that's got a lot of power to it, Ryan?
We do. And that's the general approach to our work. We work in infant mortality. This isn't exactly a happy subject to talk about, but thriving, healthy babies, that's an incredibly happy, encouraging subject to work on and to focus on. And really, ultimately, our goal isn't that zero babies die. Our goal is that every baby live. And those are the same thing, but they're also very different ways of framing it. And Mark, if you'll let me, I'd love to talk about a component of this we often don't think about, which is just the financial component for families. Cigarette smoking is extraordinarily expensive and getting more expensive all the time. In fact, we were very encouraged that the state of Ohio just passed a 35-cent increase in the cigarette tax, which means that we know that will lead to fewer smokers and fewer cigarettes smoked. But a mom smoking a pack a day throughout her pregnancy costs $1,500 throughout those 9 months. And if you are able to quit in the early parts of your pregnancy and take that $5 a day it costs you to smoke, and you're able to save that throughout your child's life, you'll be able to pay off college instead of paying off thousands and thousands of cigarettes. And so there really is a huge financial incentive for families to quit smoking. And there actually are direct financial incentives to engage in some of these materials. So a family can, a woman who's pregnant can actually get paid to call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. There's actually an incentive every time you call because that's how important this is. We know it costs our community a great deal. There's $2.6 million in costs because preterm birth is so darn expensive. And so there's a really important financial component here.
Well, I have to think that there are costs just beyond the pregnancy itself and the family. And we're talking about earlier about how asthma is common in children whose mothers smoked, and other health problems are common. I mentioned their problems with lungs. It can affect your heart, I would assume. Mm-hmm. It can affect your brain function. So there have to be expenses even beyond what you're just talking about, Ryan.
We know that there are lifetime effects. So if a baby's born preterm, even just a little preterm, they are more likely to not be at age 3 vocabulary level. They're less likely to be reading at third grade age-appropriate levels. They're less likely to graduate from high school. These effects can really be lifelong, which is why it's so, so important, even though it's difficult to quit smoking. During pregnancy is the most important time that you can abstain.
Chris, how do you feel about being involved in this campaign? Is there a personal level to this for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think, we've been involved with the organization from its inception. And as a 85-year-old branding agency, sure we've done lots of consumer packaged goods. We had never been involved in an effort of cultural change like this. So we were nervous going in, but it's something that our organization got very excited about, and we've never done more rewarding work.
Ryan, will this be used in the schools at any point?
We are getting involved in a couple different schools this next year, not just around smoking, but around other campaigns as well. The principal of Schroeder High School is actually on our advisory board and has been very influential in how we deal with children. There's one of the great things about our work is there are so many partners involved. What we saw last year around safe sleep was there was this incredible tidal wave of momentum that grew up around this issue. All we really did was say, hey, it's very important that we focus on safe sleep for infants. And then literally hundreds of partners started doing things around that. And we were able to drop our sleep-related infant deaths by more than half just in 1 year, which we never thought we'd be able to do. That was our 5-year goal. We did it in 1 year. So we're hoping the same thing can happen around smoking. And even just as we just launched this campaign, we've had every Medicaid managed care plan in Ohio send leadership down to this corner of the state and say, we want to help. We've had CVS Pharmacy, who has quit selling cigarettes at all their stores nationwide, say, we want to help. We've had schools step up. We've had faith leaders step up. And there's really a lot of momentum. So I think if we can do dozens of initiatives this year around smoking, just like we did dozens of initiatives around safe sleep last year, as a community, we can save lives.
So what's the time frame? When will we are the billboards going up already? And
yeah, they were up as... starting the June 25th, and those will be running for another 6 weeks, and then the audio component of that will start towards the mid end of July.
And it will be part of our work moving forward. So we have additional components planned in the spring. We're not going to stop caring about smoking until there aren't any moms who smoke anymore. And so when we launch one of these campaigns, it's not as though we've stopped talking about sleep. We still do quite a bit around that. When we launch one of these campaigns, they are ongoing. And so we'll be looking for ways to help moms and empower them for the rest of our work.
But you're tackling smoking initially, because this is such a big issue when it comes to infant mortality.
It's one of the most modifiable risk factors that are out there. When you look at all of the things that can affect the health of an infant, this is the one that we know exactly how to change it. That doesn't make it easy, but we do know how to change it.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Dr. Beth Ann Brown, Residency Program Director and Associate Professor at the University of Cincinnati James L. Winkle College of Pharmacy. Chris Rowland, who's Vice President of Client Services with Desky, the marketing and brand strategy firm that designed the campaign to reach expectant mothers. And Cradle Cincinnati Executive Director Ryan Adcock. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier with help from Lizzie Kibler. The technical director was Kevin Rowinski. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday, next on 91.7 WVXU. Camp Washington may be best known for the iconic chili parlor that's operated there for 75 years. But on the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll learn more about the neighborhood and the strong sense of community fostered by its residents. We'll also hear about the upcoming 2015 U.S. Rowing Club National Championships in Claremont County. And in Focus on Technology, Going Green prompts new partnerships with breweries. That's on Cincinnati Edition, Monday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.